In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians 4 is where we're at. So remember, Paul was in jail when he wrote this letter, and he's writing about joy and happiness while he's in jail. And in chapter 4, it starts off with, therefore. So that is a clue that we need to look in front of it to see what it's there for. And at the end of chapter 3, he tells believers that your vile body is going to be changed into like the glorious body of Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's the good news that we have. Okay, our vile body is going to change into the glorious image of Jesus Christ. Then chapter 4 says, with that in mind, therefore. Okay, so therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Okay, so because we have that great promise of 3:20 and 21, that should cause us to stand fast in the Lord, and it also should, verse 2, Paul said, I beseech Eutychus and Syntyche that they would be of the same mind in the Lord. So is that male names or female names? I don't know. I don't think it matters. So in verse 2, he's showing reality that we can fuss with each other, that we can be out of sort with each other. And so when we look at the big picture, we're going to get a body like Jesus Christ, and we're going to live in heaven with Christ and with the one we're fussing with down here, if they're both born again. He's saying, look at the big picture, and the stuff down here, learn to overcome that. Okay, so in verse 2, he gives the big picture. I beseech thee. So he's begging both of these people, don't meditate on your offense. Don't meditate on your disagreement. Don't run it over and over and over in your mind, which is meditation. Because the more you run that through your mind, your mind is going to play havoc on you. And you're going to hate that person further because that squeak in the car that is bugging you, even though the car is getting you from point A to point B, and when you get some time, put a little oil on the squeak, but that squeak can drive you crazy. Okay, one of the methods of torture is to lay a person down and have water drop on their head. You know, at first, oh, that's refreshing. But when a water keeps dropping on your head, you will focus on the droplets heading your head, and that can drive a person crazy. So in verse 2, he's telling us, now there's other places in the Bible where we can go to control this. Okay, people that keep these grudges and are unable to forgive, they keep hashing the offense over and over. They're meditating is what they're doing. They're meditating. We would say, you need to meditate on the Lord. They say, oh, I can't do that. Well, you're meditating on this offense, and you're going it over in your mind, over and over. And then you find somebody that you can tell your offense to, and then they can harbor with you and to meditate and meditate on that. And in verse 2, Paul is begging them. And in verse 3, he says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel. So there's two things he's saying there. Help, in other words, get busy doing something. Instead of staying there and harboring it over and over and over. And when you get busy and look outside yourself doing something, you're going to discover there are people that have a worse situation. Okay, so sweating is healthy. Okay, no deodorant. You know, sweating is healthy. If it goes back to Genesis chapter 3, what was the help for Adam? He's got to work by the sweat of his brow. And there is something about sweating and hard labor and getting exercise where you get the blood going, and that helps improve the dopamine. Okay, dopamine is that happy hormone that your body produces. Okay, and so how is this done in our world? Okay, so if you as an individual, young people, if you construct something, if you build something, if you accomplish something, if you paint something, if you work on music, you are working on a project, you're working to master something. When you master that and people appreciate that, your dopamine is going to rise. That's a natural way. And this is why a person that does something like this, they have a greater self-worth. Okay, when I was helping Luke with something in the house, and we got done, and then here comes Mommy. He says, "Ooh, get that dopamine going, Ma. You get that dopamine," because he was bragging about his work. He's doing something constructive. Now, cell phones and video games give an automatic, instantaneous dopamine. That's why a person goes back to it, but it is a short-lived dopamine. The people that design these do that on purpose, and so a person always comes back to that. If you can get the dopamine, the happy hormone, in the right way, then it really can benefit you and others. Okay, here, let's go to, since we're here, let's drop down to verse 8. So these two people that had a beef, had a disagreement, have a personality conflict, have a problem. Okay? He's telling them, okay, both of you, you're saved. You're gonna get a body like Jesus Christ someday. And when you get that body, it is not going to matter that they didn't like the same color carpet you liked. It doesn't matter. And so instead of meditating on the offense, and we live in a day and age where there are offenses everywhere. I mean, it is unbelievable some of the things that young people, children, are going through in this day. Okay, it is unbelievable. And when you're walking by people in stores, you don't understand, you and I don't see their hurts, we don't see the wounds. But if you bring up a word that affects that wound, it's just like they got a scar, a scab, and you just pick the scab off, they're going to react. So in chapter 4, verse 8, for the individual who's been offended, instead of meditating on the offense over and over, in verse 8 it says, we need to think on certain things. So it's up here. It's in our mind. And we all have these struggles. We all have them. And so he's telling us in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report. Right there eliminates the whole news media. If there be any virtue and any praise, think. Think on these things. And a person might say, well, I don't have the capability. You're right, we don't. But the Lord can help with that. Okay, and so he's telling us to control our thoughts. Okay, a lot of times, the things about injuring an animal is the animal often will cry out, so we know the animal's wounded. Okay, I think, if a fish came out of the water and go, oh, that hurt, oh, I wonder if some people would stop fishing. But, the fish shows nothing. Okay? But when you harm plants, they say nothing. What does a plant do? The Bible likens us to plants. So when you cut a plant, prune a plant, trim a plant, We had a trumpet vine at the house on Buncombe Road, and I don't know how many times we ripped that thing out, and that thing would come back and come back. And that's what the Lord wants us to do as believers. He wants us to keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back. Let's try 2 Corinthians 10. Now, of course, I know this is easy to say, but it's tough to live. 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 3. So he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God in the pulling down of the strongholds." And then 5, casting down imaginations. Okay, casting down imaginations. Okay, the devil doesn't play fair. Okay, and when you and I get thoughts in our head, we need to ask ourselves, where did that thought come from? Because, one, God can put thoughts in our mind. Spirits can put thoughts in our mind. Okay, and we need to try to figure out whether we should dwell on that thought or not. And so, we got to cast down imagination. So, what the devil will often do when husband and wife are separated, maybe through work or whatnot, throughout the day, maybe about 30 minutes before they have a reuniting, maybe about an hour, okay, depends on the individual, he'll put a thought in her mind that he was flirting with somebody today. Now, she's got no evidence of that. It's just an imagination. Put a thought in his mind that she's doing something. He's got no evidence of that. It's just an imagination. Now, if both parties start to rehash that over and over and over and meditate on that with no evidence, now when they see each other, they're ready to have a good fight. Okay, rather than, now a person says, yeah, but what if it really did happen? Okay, then deal with it when you get the evidence. Why waste emotions and all those things? So in verse 5, he says, cast down vain imaginations. Or cast down imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So it's a thought process we need to bring into our mind. Memorize scripture. Okay, deal with what we know is in front of us, evidence that we have. Okay, and so we are not, I am not responsible for the actions of others that they commit against me, for or against. I am not responsible for that. I am responsible for my reaction. So if a person has wronged me, and let's make it a major heavy-duty wrong, biblically what I'm supposed to do, if they have wronged me, I am to go to them and say, this is what I see happened. Am I seeing this right? And hopefully that party will say, yes, you're right, I was wrong, please forgive me, problem solved. Okay, if that party will not admit it, then you can go the second step to bring another's party along to give the witnesses. And if they reject that, then you can go to step 3. But let's say they will not do anything. Let's say they've wronged you and they absolutely refuse to get right. Okay? Who is going to take care of that? You or me? Or the Lord? So if I respond properly, that would be the good thing. If I react improperly, now we have 2 wrongs. And then I'll be held accountable for my wrong. Example in the Bible, Moses. Okay, Moses, the author that God chose for the first 5 books in the Bible. And when he's writing down Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, it says that Moses was the meekest man on earth. And I'll bet you anything that when Moses wrote that down, he's I'm not sure about that. Okay, and obviously he was when you follow his gracious attitude to Korah and to in Numbers 16 and 17. I mean, he let them kind of follow through the thing. Okay, so there he is, the meekest man. But it got to a point where they pushed him far enough that he reacted in Numbers 20. He reacted right in Numbers 16 when Korah and Dothan and Abiram challenged him. He reacted right in Numbers 17 with the rod that Aaron had budded. But in Numbers 20, they pushed him and pushed him and pushed him, and they caught him on a bad moment. And these people, I went one and he got so sick of it. And the Lord said, Moses, there's a rock right over there. Talk to the rock, and it's going to have water out. And he said, I'll talk to the rock. I'll talk to the rock. And he smacked that rock. So he wasn't responsible for the whiny, murmuring, griping Jews. He wasn't responsible for that. He was responsible for hitting the rock, disobeying God. And that action forfeited his right to go in the land of Canaan. Okay, so yeah, hey, we're none of us are going to bat 1,000. We all know that. Okay, but when we don't bat 1,000, thank God we can correct it now. If the Lord lays it on, well, then they need to apologize too. Don't worry about that. That's not on you. Some people think that if I apologize, you got to apologize. Well, then your apology wasn't legit. All we do is our part. And if they want to fix their part, they can fix it. If they don't, that's between they and God. And God will call you to witness in the court setting, be it at the judgment seat or the white throne. He'll call you as a witness. Boy, that is going to be an interesting court process. Okay, people have been gravely offended, terribly offended. We had a lady down at Rensselaer talk years ago that she was gravely offended, and it was legitimate. And when the man who committed this grave offense, her only regret was that she couldn't dance on his grave. Well, she could go dance on it if she wants. And a person said, well, she's wrong. Well, I'm not the one that got offended, and I'm not justifying it, but I understand it, and I believe that's why God has a death sentence on certain things. Is because that is the only way to relieve that guilt. Justice is a right thing. And the Bible says it is joy to the just to do justice. From God's perspective, justice and vengeance operate properly. From our perspective, vengeance is basically us desiring that person to hurt as much as we hurt. Where justice, the motive for justice is that that party would get right here on earth instead of waiting until the judgment seat when it's too late. So in 2 Corinthians 10, casting down imaginations. I suppose that a person, depending on the situation, if a person wonders if I've truly forgiven, I suppose how you can know that is if you can pray for the good of that individual. You can pray for their good. And again, you know, that's something that often we have to hash out with the Lord. Okay, depending on that. So Philippians 4, in light of the great promise to born-again believers, because of salvation, unfortunately, we get a ticket to heaven. That's a fortunate thing. And we get a body like Jesus Christ. And we get to witness the millennial reign. Okay, and we get to walk on streets of gold. And we don't get sick anymore. And we get to eat what we want. Okay, and so we got all those benefits. And so when we're looking down here with all these offenses, The Bible says, woe unto them by whom the offense comes. Nobody's getting away with anything. Nobody does. Now, it may appear they're getting away with it here. Okay, and this is the age-old question of Job, is why do righteous people suffer? Why did George Burns live to be 100 years old, a wicked, wicked man? You know, and then you have godly people. Well, the Martinez, no, Gino Sharp. His wife was killed in an accident less than a year ago, wasn't it? And he's the one that just went down to Costa Rica. He does video presentations for missionaries. And his wife got killed in a car accident. Was she in her 40s? Okay, why does George Burns live to be 100? Well, at the judgment, I'd rather be her than him. That's for sure. Okay, and boy, is he going to have to answer for a lot. So in Philippians 4, verse 2, okay, we just understand, when you got people rubbing shoulders, in Proverbs it says, where the man is answering his heart to another, where iron sharpeneth iron. Okay, iron sharpeneth iron. That's how engines work. Engines have metal rubbing against metal. So when you have metal rubbing against metal, it's automatic, you're going to have heat. So the oil and the antifreeze is designed to keep the temperature under control. Okay, so in the Bible, the oil is picture of the Holy Ghost, and the water or the antifreeze is picture of the Word of God. So when a person is filled with the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, then we can maintain the friction of man rubbing against man. When you force man together, especially the races together, when they're forced together, they're going to fight. If you doubt that, go to a prison and visit them. Because they're forced together. Okay? And so when it gets to the state prison, if you by chance go to a state prison, to minister, not to have an in-house ministry. When we played basketball at Grace College, we went to Indiana State Penitentiary 2 years in a row. And the basketball team, somehow they didn't have any white boys that could play basketball. Because the basketball team was all black. And then after our game was over with, at the end of the game, amazingly, all the black guys shot on this end, all the white guys on this end. Because that's the natural thing, birds of a feather flock together. If a person voluntarily does something like that, that's different. But when it's forced, when you force man together, he's going to fight. Why? Because they don't have the oil and they don't have the water. And even when you have the oil and the water, there's still going to be some times where, the antifreeze drains a little bit and you're going to overheat. Back in the day, years ago, not covered wagon days, but used to run water in the engines. And come wintertime, you'd pull the water out and put antifreeze in. So I was going to do that on a farm. Dad told me, take the water out, drain the drain cock, and then pet cock, and then, and then put the antifreeze on top. And boy, of course, I drained it out perfectly like I was supposed to, but then I forgot to tighten the pet cock, and I pour it in the bottom, and it's pouring at the top, and it's going right out the bottom. And Dad told me, instead of being upset with me, he said, yeah, I did that with oil one time. I was pouring the oil on top and forgot to put the drain plug in. Anybody else ever done that? Okay, good. Okay. So in Philippians 4, verse 2, this is just a natural thing that happens because we're humans, we're people. And Paul is saying us first in this brief context, and we can go to other scriptures to help us in other areas, but in this brief context, He's saying in verse 20 and 21, with the great promise of becoming like Jesus Christ someday, with that in mind, Eutychus and Syntyche, be of the same mind. And then he says in verse 3, get busy. Get outside of yourself. Involve in somebody else's life. Don't meditate. Don't meditate on that wound that you have. Get busy. Exercise. Sweat. Walk. Okay, do something for the Lord. And you're going to cross the path of people that have had more difficulties than you and I. Okay, and that will help a person recover. And will help them out physically, mentally. Just the idea of sweating, it's a mental aid. You know, and people just one air conditioning, another air conditioning, another, and nobody's sweating, and it's keeping all the toxins in. You say, yeah, but I'm going to stink. Well, he told us he's going to change our vile body, so we're going to stink anyway. So that's how it goes. And then verse 3, okay, and I entreat thee. So notice Paul is not bullying them. He's beseeching, he's begging. I entreat. Entreat is appealing to somebody. Please, please, get a victory over this. True yoke fellow. So when he says yoke fellow, he's wanting somebody to get busy working. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel. So where were the men? Well, we had Timothy. He mentions Timothy. He mentions Titus, but they're out busy. He mentioned other men, Epaphroditus. But here are the women which labored with me in the gospel. Why would he say that? Well, it could be like China, where my sister would say, you meet a Chinese individual, and if you lead things into the Bible or the Lord or God, it takes 2 years, 2 years of a constant communication of this individual deciding about Jesus Christ. 2 years. If it's a female, they would generally see the girls accept the Lord, but the men, the boys, would think about that, and they would reason in their mind, if I do this, I'm going to lose my job. I'll have no source of income. And like one of these men told Lyle, I'm going to get saved when I retire. Okay, why? Because they're thinking of what they're going to face by coming to Jesus Christ. Okay, and the females can sort of kind of overcome it a little better. But that's a struggle. And then Paul is telling us here, I've got some ladies, women helping me. Okay, and it could be the same idea depending on the culture. And then he says, with Clement also. And with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Okay, the book of life mentioned other places where the Lord writes your name in a book of life. And I think it's Luke 10 where he told the apostles when he sent them out two and two. And he gave them power over devils and they came back. And they were, wow, Lord, these devils are subject unto us. And the Lord's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he says, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the servants or spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So that's our reservation. That's like when you go to the restaurant, you know, and you say, here's my name. I got a reservation. And then you walk by all those people in line, you know, because you got the reservation. And so we got that reservation. First Peter says the reservation's in heaven. It's got the name written in the book of life. Okay, and then that book is going to be consulted in Revelation 20 at the White Throne Judgment. Why would they consult that book if they're all saved? Well, obviously they're not all saved. Or I mean, if they're all lost. So the ones who are not found in there are cast in the lake of fire. Okay, so with that, okay, as he's coming down through here, he said, what should we be thinking about? Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Okay, now we would probably throw an S on always, and I don't fully understand what's going on there. And some would criticize the Bible for not having an S on there, and I'm telling you, there's a reason for that. Okay, always, meaning all way, meaning you got all these different ways all the time. So the Bible, very precise. And a lot of these things, the Lord is going to tell us why he was that precise, why it was this way and that way. But most people will criticize the Bible. If they don't understand something, they criticize the Bible. If we don't understand something, we shouldn't criticize ourselves. No doubt the problem lies with me. But these people will criticize the Bible. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice always again. So there he said that rejoice. He said that previously in chapter 3 at the beginning. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. So brag about the Lord. Allow that praise the Lord to flow freely from your lips. You know, and if you go to the auto parts store, and they surprisingly have the part, and it's the right one, praise the Lord. And they go, huh? And I'm not saying be super spiritual, just throw it out there. And keep the Lord in the forefront of people. They might consider him if you say, they say, well, the Lord's not interested in that. Oh, of course he is. God is interested in things that you and I are interested in. He wants to tie strings with us. Just as we parents try to tie strings with our children. We take an interest in what they're taking an interest in. And the Lord takes an interest in those things. You know, and you know, a couple of years, you know, we would have these, one is an Assembly of God was in the basketball league. And it's kind of nice when they're a part of the league. Because if they get mad at the referees, I could just look and say, hey, don't lose your salvation. You can lose your salvation, remember. It was kind of funny. Years ago when we were in Colorado Springs, Jack Hiles showed up in a big church in Denver. We happened to go. And so he announced, you know, he recognizes the Baptist preacher. There's one Nazarene there. And he happened to say, he says, you guys that, you know, are wanting to buy these books, he said, I'm not worried about the Nazarene back there because I know he'll be in trouble if he don't pay for it. Yeah, that's right. Might lose his salvation. And people just chuckled about it. But, you know, it's like you get these, you know, these churches that believe in faith healing. A guy rolls his ankle in basketball. Okay, come on, fellas. Fix him. Why don't you fix him right now? You know, power, positive thinking, all that stuff. They don't buy into that. It just shows the farce. Okay, so rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And then verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. Okay, moderation is not an extremist going from one thing to another. Okay, and of course, we're all going to struggle with these things. Moderation is temperance, self-control. Being steady. Okay, you ever get around some people that you don't know? Are they going to fly off the handle? They're going to get mad? Or maybe they're like this. Maybe their life is like this. Okay, what? Man, how are they going to react? Okay, what do I do? What do we want to be? We want to be a steady keel. We want to stay steady. Where a person comes around, they're not kind of wondering, okay, how am I supposed to respond? The Lord wants us to have a steady keel about ourselves. We're not a big flamboyant, not a big thing. Now, there's times we get excited about things. Okay, and there are some things that I would be, quote, an extremist on. I'm a fanatic about the Word of God. Okay, and so, but this is what the Lord wants you and I, that when people come into our presence, that they're not on edge, where generally they can see, they can be encouraged by coming into your presence. And that's what moderation does. It helps us to keep this, and the only way we do that is by the Lord. Now, we each got different personalities, okay? And it's kind of funny, Becky sent me something on my cell phone, and it's got these little images. And when you look at it, these images, if they look like they're spiraling, it says, if they're staying still, you're calm. If they're spiraling, you're under stress. If they're really going on, you're under big stress. And it's just an image. And right before the wedding yesterday, because I'm doing it in the sound booth, I'm looking at it, just a little bit of spiraling. But I'll have to show it to you if you want to see it. We'll see how your eyes work on it. And there's something to that. Okay, and so let your moderation. The Lord wants us to be steady. Okay, he wants us not to fly off the handle. He that flies off in a handle often makes a bad landing. Okay, and so he wants us to be above reproach. And the Lord wants this to be made known to others. Okay, so let your moderation be known unto all men. That's by example. That's not something we go around and say, oh, I'm a moderate person. Well, I'm a moderate person. You know, that is by example. And these things are caught rather than taught. And then the last thing in that verse, the Lord is at hand. Right, Paul. You said that 2,000 years ago. The Lord is at hand. Well, guess what? He's at hand. His calendar is different than ours. And to him, a day, 1,000 years is as a day. So he is at hand. And it's just, we'd just rather see that hand. Okay, we'll stop there. Lord, I do thank you for your words, and I do pray that you'd help us to recognize that, sure, we're going to have offenses. We're going to be offended. We're going to hurt somebody. And I do pray that you'd help each of us remember the big picture, that in the big picture, we're going to have a body like the Lord Jesus. What a blessing that is. In Jesus' name, amen.